listening to the Creepcast on DownrightCreepy.com. Now, here's your creepy host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the Creepcast. On today's show, we're going to talk about Netflix's new series, Ratchet, starring Sarah Paulson. We had the chance to sit in on a press conference with the cast to talk a little bit about the origin story of Nurse Mildred Ratchet, which is, of course, from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And this adaptation is brought to us by Ryan Murphy from the American Horror Story franchise TV series. And so it's interesting to get a look and perspective from that creator. So, before we get into the interviews, let's take a listen to the trailer.
May I ask why you're headed to Lucia?
It seems like a rather personal question.
Well, I'm sorry, ma'am. Didn't mean to make you uncomfortable.
I didn't say you made me uncomfortable. I said the question was personal.
Sorry.
You should bathe more often. Your fingernails are filthy.
The miniature walked in the joint.
We had a saying in the Corps, save one life and you're a hero. Save 100 lives. Well, then you're a nurse.
Do you wanna have fun? How about a few less?
You have been subjected to enough pain.
I can show you a good time.
But you deserve someone to show you mercy. How different I would be if someone had.
Do you wanna have
excuse me, you're eating my peach.
I don't see your name on it.
And who would do that?
Do what?
Put their name on a peach.
Somebody who really wanted it?
No one has ever put their name on a peach.
I've seen it done.
No, you haven't.
What are you gonna do about it? What, are you deaf?
No. Just thinking of all the things I'm going to do about it. You feel right now. Told that you're mad when that's what's driving you mad.
I should have never let you into this hospital.
Letting me into this hospital was the best decision you ever made.
One last good time.
So there you have it, the trailer for Ratchet on Netflix coming out September 18th. Now, we were lucky enough to sit in on a press conference with a few of the cast members, including Sarah Paulson, Cynthia Nixon, Sharon Stone, Sophie Accanito, John Briones, and Finn Wittrock. Some of those names sound familiar. It's because they've been in Ryan Murphy's American Horror Story on FX. Some other notable cast members that were not on the call but are in the series is Vincent D'Onofrio and Corey Stoll. Some people have been asking, you know, is this a replacement for American Horror Story since we didn't get a season this year on FX? But that's not the case. It's in the origin story of Nurse Mildred Ratchet from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and it's a Netflix original series that we get 8 episodes this coming September. So without further ado, let's talk to the cast of Netflix Ratchet. First, let me say thank you to everyone for taking the time to join me here on Downright Creepy today, and I'm excited to learn a little bit more about the show and what went on set. And I think I'd like to start with how it was like to work with Ryan Murphy, knowing his, you know, his history on American Horror Story and that series, and kind of how the storylines, you know, they can be pretty gruesome, and just how it was to work with him if you haven't worked with him before. And of course, Sarah and John, I know you guys and Finn have worked with him prior on the series. So yeah, I just want to get your take on what it was like to work on this, especially from Sarah being the lead. But let's start with John. What was your experience like working with Ryan?
This is actually my first time to work with Ryan. I didn't work with him
Versace
and Horror Story, but this is the first time. So it was a little intimidating, but I loved every minute of it, because as soon as he showed up, he is... Actually, it's hard to gauge him if he's kidding or if he's serious. And the first time he looked at me, I was in my costume and wig. He looked at me and he was like a foot away from my face and went, okay. And then he laughed. And I think that was that set up the whole thing for me. It's light, but at the same time, he means business. And then as you go along, he shows you the genius that he has with his vision and the way he designed the whole world for his storytelling, which is exciting.
That's pretty cool to hear. Finn, what was it like for you to work with Ryan yet again in a different story?
I worked with him a couple times. I feel like he, as a director for this one, he was really even more meticulous than he sometimes is, and really cared about, like, I really was into the nuances of the way it looked and felt, and pretty hands-on in that way. But like John's saying, like, it's generally fun on a Ryan Murphy set when he's directing it. There are probably some people that cower in fear, but I think generally it's like, even when it's like the craziest, bloodiest, saddest scene, like, there's kind of a party atmosphere that he can sometimes bring.
So, Sarah, you probably worked with Ryan Murphy the most. What was it like to take on this lead, strong female role with Ryan at the helm?
Yeah, just a couple.
just a couple times.
Yeah, this was a different one for me, because he was very, very interested in empowering me in this way that I had never experienced before, even in the traditional structure of working with him. I'd never played a titular character before. I had never owned a piece of a show before. I'd never been executive producer of a show before. And this is all because of him. And it was very important to him. It was part of the reason why I was so terrified to do it, was I thought, you know, I don't have a ton of experience sort of stepping into what he would say to me over and over again of like, step into your power, step into your power. And it literally makes me want to like take a hot shower and run screaming into the street to think about stepping into my power, because I don't really know what that means, but he does. And he would like me to do more of it. So it was a kind of an interesting thing to confront my hesitation and to deal with all of those like moments of what does that look like for me? And am I capable? Am I ready? Do I want it? What does it mean if I do? Is that ambition? It was just like a whole kind of myriad of things to contend with. But, you know, he always has been my greatest champion. So I have, and it's not without its complications, because it is. I mean, any real relationship will be that. And, you know, he gave me a lot of power, but not all of it, which was also a healthy, good introduction to what that would be, because, you know, he could have been like, no, do what you want. And then, you know, that wouldn't have been good for anybody. He wanted my input, and he would send me cuts and say to me, you know, what do you think? And I was like, are you sure? And I would write pages and emails of, you know, when he finally called me, he said, okay, listen, here's the deal. You get to watch them before I get my first look at them, because then I start thinking about having to break all this shit down that I've already decided. And now I don't know what to do. Just so then I started getting the edits first. And then by the time he got them, at least some of my notes had been, it was interesting. It was an interesting experience to think beyond my own narrow view of just my own performance and think about the show as a whole and what the story was. And I'd never had that experience. And once again, he's responsible for giving me the thing I had yet to experience.
That's great to have that kind of of support behind you from someone you worked with for so long. Cynthia Nixon, this is the first time you worked with Ryan.
I mean, it was kind of mind-blowing. I mean, it was really exciting to get invited into the world with this, I mean, so much talent, you know, actor-wise, but really every-wise, design-wise, camera-wise, writing-wise, every-wise.
Yeah, the stylistic approach to this and the way it looked, the color palettes, the lighting, it was awesome from a throwback perspective. So yeah, design and everything was great.
And it was wild to, you know, sometimes Brian, when he was directing, was on the set, and then obviously sometimes not. But the amount of you know, we'd been working together a very brief amount of time, and he shared with me a kind of a not quite final cut of this documentary he did, A Secret Love, about these two women who were a couple for decades and hidden from their families. I mean, it was mind-blowing, because it's like so many Ryan Murphy things, like you think you understand what he does, and then you see a whole new project that's just an indie chapter. It's not even a new chapter, it's like a whole other book in a whole other language.
Genre.
But I guess the thing, apart from enjoying, you know, his direction and being with him on the set, was watching all the other things that he was doing, like, of course, his children coming to visit, like, literally, you're like they're setting up a shot, and enormous billboards of like the new clothes from Pose are like being paraded out. Yeah. And approved. And then, oh, now there's storyboards coming of a whole new show that he's developing. That I mean, it's like, you know, as Sarah was saying, you know, one is so used to being in one's little actor character box. But even just sort of glimpse in his direction of all of the, you know, he contains multitudes, literally. And to see that in action was really mind-blowing and wonderful.
Yeah, the man has a lot of projects, man of many talents. But Sharon, let's go to you. How was your experience working with Ryan? How did you get involved with the project?
Well, first of all, felt I'm like, Ryan took me out to lunch and offered me this part, but so, you know, he told me that he offered me this part and that he'd written the part for me, and then I didn't say anything, and he was like, well, aren't you excited? And I said, I don't know yet. And I mean, of course I was excited that Ryan Murphy wanted me to work with him do it, but you know, you never know how big the cliff is you're going to have to jump off of when he says he's writing you a part.
Yeah, or literally jump off a cliff.
Because I've seen all the other Ryan Murphy shows, so I'm still in here going, So, you know, it's kind of like that. And then, of course, I'm not really used to working in television, so I go to work and I normally have a script and a director and a plan, and I kind of good at that. And then I go to work now and I don't have scripts, because one day you're on episode 6 and the next day you're on episode 1 and the next day you're on episode 3 and you have 3 different directors.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine.
And you haven't gotten to read all of these episodes. Mm-hmm. So by about day 5, I was in the hair chair like, bleh! And Sarah goes, oh, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. And and that's when I really understood what a spectacular producer that Sarah is. Mm-hmm. And I have such, I don't even know how to say it. I don't want to say this in a way, I mean, I have pride for you. You know, in my generation, I wasn't afforded this possibility. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to do something, that what would happen would be I would get a real talking to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if I had any thoughts or ideas, I could get called to the studio and to get a real discussion about, you know, what was my problem. Mm. And I might want to shut it down. So it's not, it's for me, the experience of coming to work on a Ryan show is, I first of all, when I worked, when I started working, it was me and 300 men. Mm-hmm. There weren't, mm-hmm. even yeah. my dresser was a man.
Mm-hmm.
So to come to work and have women cameramen and sound people and in every department and to work with all these actresses where your work, I can do really strong work because I've worked with all these really big, you know, actors. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have this opportunity to work with in these fine, subtle, intimate, layered, tender work of women. Mm. And to be in the company of women.
Yeah, much more inclusive.
At first, it was almost awkward because I didn't even know what that would be like. And then to go to work where women are being empowered and offered opportunities for, I mean, even the opportunities of the types of roles that were written for every single one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that the men's roles are even respected at a whole different, the layers of emotional intelligence, it's just a different thing. And I'm just so grateful for it. And I was so worn out from the other thing, from mm-hmm. I could accomplish, you know, I could do a triple sow cow and skate backwards into the judges and get like a three. And it was like,
right, just a positive experience all around. Yeah.
So like it just to be able to be encouraged in a group, in a feminine group, and see mm-hmm. women around me being lifted up to watch you, Sarah, have this. It just, it's so touching to me. Mm-hmm. It's so meaningful to me. That this man is doing this for women. That's what Ryan Murphy says to me.
Yeah. Like I mentioned before, it just sounds like a great experience all around for, you know, everyone kind of involved in being in that setting of inclusiveness. With Ryan and some of you that have worked with him for so long, Sophie, I don't want to leave you out here. Let's get your thoughts on how it was to work with him, work with your castmates, and just what the overall experience was like.
You know, this is such an interesting conversation because I'm just absolutely fascinated by what everyone said.
Yeah.
I really relate. I really love that hearing just... So I'm not really answering the question here, but when you said like about the kind of complication and you felt inside about stepping into your power. And I just thought, I'm so happy to hear that you feel conflicted about that because I do myself. And then I think you've got to look like you really can. You're one of these women that can do it or you can't do it. Or you keep out the way. And to be able to sort of be publicly saying I have conflict inside me. It's so refreshing. I just have to say that is just really very helpful me to hear that you don't just have to be either on or off, that you can be some kind of
what's healthy, I think.
So that's really and then so you asked me about you know working with, I didn't actually do any of my actual like acting stuff with Ryan. But this is what you get. I mean, look at this conversation is just, it's just not bullshit. It's just stimulating. Yeah. And I got to be with all these people like daily, although I didn't get any scenes with Sharon.
No, that's kind of a bummer. Huh? I mean,
so amazing in this. I'm a little bit like,
but you know, so this is what he brings. He brings where you know you're. I might just get like one person, like in this cast, in a job I do, but to get like so many that aren't even here in this particular round table. They were incredible everywhere I went. And I got to like, the real grown-ups.
Yeah, I mean, that even kind of plays on, you know, what Sharon was saying earlier with her experience. I feel like it kind of echoes the same with you. So I have a question about the character itself with Nurse Mildred being this kind of villainized character, right? Like this badass that can scare you, very smart and methodical. We don't see a ton of those in film history. We've seen more prevalent ones, you know, more recently. But oftentimes, you know, a female lead that's kind of villainous versus a male lead that's villainous isn't always portrayed the same way, or the reaction's not always the same, or good in some ways. So how was it to play this kind of strong female character for not just yourself but others in this project, and for anyone? But let's open it to maybe Sarah first.
For me, I was interested in, you know, I think it's safe to say that many people are at least familiar with, if not well versed in, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, in the movie, and Louise Fletcher's performance, and the sort of iconography that was etched and sketched by everybody in that movie.
Yeah, of course.
I think she's in the top five AFI, you know, villains of all time in cinematic history. So, you know, it's no pressure, and it's just an opportunity for me to be humiliated. It's not an issue. It's totally fine. But I think it wouldn't have been interesting to me to explore the parts of Mildred Ratchet that aren't porous. And in the movie, she is she's calcified. There's a hardness. Nothing ekes out, you know? And I remember when I first saw the movie thinking, you know, years ago, that she was absolutely a villain and evil and all this stuff. And then when I rewatched it before we started, I thought, you know, this is the woman who sort of a victim of a patriarchal infrastructure in this hospital, that it's quite possible. And could it be considered that she didn't have any choice about whether or not she could access her heart in her work, if she could bring her femininity and her womanhood to the job? You know, what about considering that idea, and that she's not a villain, but she's a person who didn't have any recourse. There was nothing to do. Some people might access that and then get fired, and other people think, I better toe the line, and that's sort of what I'm going to do. And the ramifications and the consequences obviously were devastating to many of the men in that were under her care. But I had to believe, if I was going to play it, that she did it because she thought she was adhering to some kind of rule that she believed was most right, you know, maybe limited in her thinking because of the era, in terms of what she was willing to investigate, where she might have found power outside of the confines of that hospital, and who knows what her life was like. So I was interested in this idea of who is Mildred Ratchet when she takes that key and turns it and goes into her house during that movie. What is that? Who is that woman? So I wasn't thinking of it so much as an opportunity to sort of counteract or have a female Don Draper or someone who was allowed to have those complexities, but it would be impossible to undertake it without thinking, we've got to show something here that has yet to be seen. And it's entirely up to us. We can invent it because there is no backstory. That's an enormous freedom. And we can give context and depth to things that maybe weren't there. But it was just interesting to confront my own sort of prejudice against the character from the outset.
Right. And you mentioned earlier a little bit about the creative freedom of giving Ryan some feedback and shaping maybe your character a little bit. But the origin story in general is so interesting that I think it's going to be a fun story regardless. It's cool to hear that. Finn, I want to jump over to you real quick, because you play maybe one of the more horrific characters in the show that we see early on in the series. You play Edmund Tolles. And so do you think that the horrific things that he does, is that a motivation that's kind of fueled because of his love of family? Do you think that's a product of his environment or something more sinister, and he's like leaning on that as an excuse? Were these scenes difficult to film? Like, I just want to know a little bit about more about your character and his motivations behind his acts.
The big scene I had with John in episode 2 was probably the most challenging scene I had. I don't know how much I should explain right now, but it's a lot to chew, and we had to kind of shoot it a little preemptively. Because I don't know, some lead of the show happened to get sick with something. It was great. Actually, yeah. Is he a product? Yes, I would say, as we learn his history and his history with Mildred and her history, I really approached him as someone who had, had never really grown up in any kind of nurturing environment, and was so traumatized by the violence inflicted upon him throughout his childhood that he was kind of still always coming from that place of a battered kid, you know, and where his path and Mildred's path diverge, that's sort of still where, even though it was many years ago, like that's still where I think he and Mildred's relationship is still at, is kind of that raw place that they never really got to resolve. And so, you know, she went this direction and he went this direction, and a lot of violence ensued. But, you know, I don't think that, I guess you can't really think of yourself as playing a sociopath. I guess some people could, but I never thought of him that way. He does have his own sort of moral compass. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a warped one. Like, there is a level of innocence that he really, really believes in, and that he would never harm. There's like, you'll see he's got this affinity for animals that might come as something of a surprise, but reveals the actual sort of little kid that's still inside of him.
It's kind of interesting that he takes that approach to animals, because, you know, you so often hear like sociopaths or serial killers, not to say that he is per se, even though he kind of is at this point, typically do harm to animals, and, you know, not the opposite. So that's interesting to hear. Cynthia, let's dive into your character, Gwendolyn, a little bit, because she feels, you know, another strong female lead at the side of the governor, and she's also a homosexual character, which is, I think, interesting for the time period, right? Like, but being able to play that, can you just talk about the character and kind of the evolution of her?
I mean, she's a really interesting character and very different than any the usual kind of things I'm asked to play. I would say particularly as I've gotten older, like in the last 10 or 15 years, I mean, I've been asked to play a lot, you know, what we, you know, would politely be called like complicated people. But, you know, sometimes bordering on malevolent or, you know, and at least we could give them complicated. So the thing about Gwendolyn is she's so wholehearted, and she's so pure, and she's so confident, and she is, she's up against so many odds. You know, I mean, she's a queer woman in 1947. She's trying to make a life for herself in politics. I mean, she's like all of these seemingly impossible tasks that she sets for herself. But she moves ahead sort of seemingly without fear. And so for me to be basically the only person really to wholeheartedly be advocating, like, walk in the light, you know, there is a path of light for that I'm taking and that you, Mildred, could take, was just a, you know, very, very different for me. And also, I don't know, just a real challenge to particularly not have, you know, so many little cul-de-sacs to go down of a quote unquote complicated character, but just someone who was so wholehearted and who she was, and to sort of do that and, you know, hope that it would be, I guess, interesting enough, was a kind of a delightful challenge. And, you know, almost every other character has many different parts of themselves and that they're trying to kill or stamp out or suppress a bunch of those. And Gwendolyn is really the opposite. She knows she's got like at least four or five pieces of her personality, but meeting Mildred is kind of the key that unlocks a door of, she realizes she actually has to integrate all these parts of her personality and thinks for the first time it could be possible.
Yeah, that's great. John, I want to dive into your character a little bit. Dr. Hanover, it seems like he is a man that will kind of stop at nothing to prove himself and to prove that his practice and institution is kind of the best cutting technology that they have out there for mental health and that kind of thing. So I just want you to maybe talk a little bit more about playing a character like that.
Absolutely. Just like all the other characters, they're up against something. And I think that thing is undoing as well because of his past, his ego probably. But he truly believes that he can help people. And I can relate to that because I feel like personally, I want to do something that's going to last, you know, me, but I don't know. I just try to do what I can with what I have. And that, I think that's what he is. He's doubling down on his capability and his honesty of, I can help someone. But at the same time, his ego gets in the way and gets him in trouble, which, in Ryan's world, that's wonderful because mayhem ensues.
Right, which, I mean, is fantastic. I really do dig that character, though. But Sophie, let's dig into your character a little bit of Charlotte Wells. Was there any, I guess this could be for anyone, too, but specifically for Sophie, did you do any background research on mental institutions or character studies to kind of prepare for your part at all?
I didn't really do much research around kind of mental illness, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. I just kind of, because I thought, well, she doesn't really know, you know, when she's in it, she's not thinking, oh, I'm going through this mental illness, you know. It's kind of like, I just like got each like character and then just got to the heart of the character. It was all on, it was in the script. So it's not like I had to like reach out. It was all in there, and all the rhythms of how everyone talks was just, it was written. And then I sort of worked from the script sort of backwards and then just kind of made each person like, I kind of had fun kind of filling in the kind of coloring book of their life. Mm-hmm. And then I just played each one like that was the thing. That's the character I'm playing, and then didn't really worry about Charlotte being underneath or anything.
I guess that makes sense. You don't want to maybe cloud the vision of the character with that kind of background research. You can kind of give it their own personality that way. Sharon Stone, let's move on to you and your character, Lenore. She has incredible outfits. The relationship with her son is an interesting one. And then this crazy personality that she takes on, you know, larger than life in some ways. What was it like to bring a character like that onto screen, who just feels so unique and over the top in that way?
When I heard that Ryan wanted to meet with me and that he had a part for me, it's really exciting because he's so brilliant. And because I thought that other women that I had admired, like Jessica Lange and Kathy Bates, had done these incredibly interesting kind of guest pieces in these other shows that were so interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And then as I started to look at the character, I liked that there were so many vagaries about her. And that we had to figure out why she was, first of all, why is she this kind of person? How the hell did she get there to begin with? And what kind of backstory leads a person to be this thing. And so building this character that ultimately is a character that's just covered with artifacts, really interesting, because you have to find out what it is she's covering up to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then what she's covered it with. And then what were those failures that made the character so insecure? Mm-hmm. And then this enormous failure that caused this internal schism, and that caused her to ultimately have a monkey on her back, both literally and metaphorically.
Yeah.
And then what is the metaphorical monkey on the back? And what is the relation, the intimacy? What is the intimate relationship with the metaphorical monkey on the back? Mm. I thought all of this was really interesting. I thought all of Ryan at one point, you know, we could erase the monkey at the end and it would all be the same. Mm. You know, the character would be the same character even if we took the monkey out. It would, because it all ultimately meant the same thing for the character. And so it was just a really different process and a different type of character than I'd ever approached before. And I thought that that was going to be, and it was, very challenging and really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, quite possibly the most interesting character in the entire show. Certainly from personality standpoint, I feel like. So, okay. One last question, kind of open to any of the cast members, but was there any point in time during filming that you were genuinely scared of Nurse Ratched and Mildred, or for that matter, other characters playing off of each other? But was there a moment when you were kind of genuinely terrified filming something?
You know, no, even though as an actor, you go, okay, get in the moment. But the thing is, you know the person right in front of you. And I got to know Sarah so well that sometimes I just want to hug her. And even though she's being mean to me, I just want to kiss her. If anything, I'm in awe because she's well prepared. And at the same time, it's so easy for her to drop everything. And then once the camera is on, she's on you, and she's so giving when it's just you and on you, and she's giving you everything. But probably the most difficult for me was with stitching up somebody with blood and everything. That was because I was shaking and the camera was on me and crew waiting around and I'm messing.
Yeah, I'm sure that could be just as nerve-wracking as actual like surgery or stitching someone up. Very nerve-wracking with everyone watching you trying to get it right and make it look believable. But yeah, I just want to say thank you to the cast for joining me today, for Netflix for giving us the opportunity. Everyone check out season one of Ratcheted on Netflix September 18th and know that if you like season one, a season two is on the way. Thank you for tuning in to this special edition of the Creepcast, and we will see you soon. Bye for now. You're listening to a Downright Creepy original on the Crickets Podcast Network.